right, once again, that's good singing. I don't care where you're from, where you're going. That's just good and a blessing from on high. Take your Bible, if you will, to the book of Proverbs tonight, chapter number 29. Proverbs in chapter number 29. You find the place. We're going to read one passage here this evening out of that chapter. Verse number 23, if you're able to stand, then do so. And if not, you may stay seated. Proverbs chapter number 29, verse number 23. The Bible said, a man's pride shall bring him low. That's already making me want to go home. But honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Our Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word tonight. We do thank you for it, how good it is to be once again back here in the house of God. We thank you that thou art God from everlasting to everlasting. Beside thee, there's none else. Now bless the word to every heart here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you and be seated. I'm going to preach a little while on the subject of pride this evening. My, what an ugly mess that is. What an ugly word that is. What an ugly attitude that is. You know what it is, don't you? Pride, it'll keep a man that's lost, a woman that's lost in their sin and keep them from being able to get saved because they're proud of themselves just like they are. It'll cause somebody to miss heaven and go straight to hell because they weren't willing to face themselves the way God said. Here's what pride is. It's a feeling of deep pleasure and satisfaction in one's own achievements and their own self. A prideful person's content with one's own self. A person who is self-righteous. A person who's self-centered. That's what pride is. You know, whenever you begin to look into this, you begin to realize, and every now and again, just kind of, I remember one time I was at a Bible conference of a thing, and there was a fellow by the name of Brother Dub. He's in heaven tonight, but anyhow, I'd done listened to three or four duds, and Brother Dub was sitting next to me, and I said, Brother Dub, if he calls on one more dud to preach, I've got a gun in my right front pocket. I want you to pull it out and shoot me with it. Well, I didn't know Brother Dub was going to tell it to everybody. See, I mean, I didn't want to sound proud and cocky and all that business there, but I mean, if I'm going to go sit and listen, I'm not interested in some deadhead dragging me to death. I want somebody to get up and preach heaven real hell hot, and let's get on with it. In this lesson that you're looking at, you know, I remember one time this came to my mind. I don't have it pinned down, so. But I remember one time that a young fellow being in a conference, and he thought he could do better than everybody else. Oh my, finally the preacher called on him. He jumped out of there like a banty rooster and bounced down to the front. He was all tickled to death, and he said, well, I'm finally going to get to give you people something from the Lord. And then he drew a blank. Son, he went dead as a hammer. He struggled with it and struggled and fumbled and fumbled until finally that he went down hanging his head and dragging back down to the pew and sitting down. The next old gentleman that came up there, he said, young man, if you'd have come up here like you went down, you could have went down like you came up.
Yes, sir.
Boy, if you'll recognize and realize and know that there's a God in heaven and that you and I belong to him, and that whatsoever God's bestowed upon us has been by his grace and his mercy. And that's how, I mean, you can pat yourself on the back if you want to, but all the glory belongs to him. I want to say to you then in this lesson here that this subject that we're dealing with, it involves somebody that's a bragger, somebody that's a boaster, somebody that's blind to who they really are. Sound like Donald Trump, but I voted for him twice, and I'd vote for him now, that is, if I ain't got anybody else better too, but what do I say good about Donald Trump? He's a multi-billionaire. That's it. He's full of himself, he's full of pride, he's full of arrogancy, and he's a womanizer, he's no doubt, he'll lie, cheat, connive, and all that business there, and even on his wives. No need man stand up talking about how he loves his wife. Which one? The third one? The first one? Pride won't let a man acknowledge what he's done, what he is. in this Bible lesson that we're looking at. Let me say to you, here's what pride is. Notice in verse number 1 of chapter 29, he being often reproved, hardened his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. You know what that is? That's a person full of pride. God's done been smiting their heart, but they're not going to get it right. They're not going to humble themselves before God. Do you know the Bible said that righteousness exalted the nation, but sin is a reproach of any people? Let me tell you something about some of this pride and arrogance scene. I've got a deer that's hanging on the wall that I killed in Kansas. He was like 174 and some change. Now he's 171 and nearly 172. But do you think I'm going to go brag on how that I got that? There's a man that fed a stand, put up a stand, put me on a stand. And let me tell you right now, you think for 1 minute that God doesn't know the difference? Why would I want to come out bragging about how good a deer hunter that I am and what I've taken? I've got another one hanging on the wall that's in my office. And Brother Ron had let it go by him thinking it was too young. And it is too young for him. But it wasn't too young for old Dennis. And Buddy, whenever he told me, he said, now, he's a 9 point, but I think he's young and all that business. When he came through, I ground checked my stuff. They know putting that back in. Ain't no catch and release in deer hunting. But let me tell you how grateful. It's pretty good looking. You can see it there on the wall in my office. I've got a beautiful axis, I've got a beautiful whitetail that this man right here, Brother Darrell, put me on a stand that it's done been fed. And all I got to do is just be still enough for when they come out. You think I can brag on that? And yet I know people that you can feed it up, you can powder it up, you can put them on it, and they'll come off bragging so much that you're sorry that you even knew them. In this lesson you're looking at, what about fishing? I've taken people fishing before saying, listen, they're going to be hanging right there. But if you throw in there, that's where they're going to be. Now come on with it and grab hold and go. And all of a sudden, you know, latching on to it and them bass are coming up out of the water wallowing and all that. And that's a fun trip. And let me say to you that if you put me on something, I'm not going to be able to brag. Now Sam, when he was a little boy, we took him and a preacher friend. And I said, now listen, boys, I'm going to drive you up here to this island. Y'all stand right here and get ready. One of you throw by that bush and the other one throw by that point. And if you'll do that and you'll hit it, you'll latch on to one. And they did. And of course, Sam, just being a kid, I don't know, about the size of Connor. I mean, wrestled it and got it in, told the preacher, said, hey, Papa, looks like me and Brother So-and-so here, it looks to me like we're getting way ahead of you. That's all right if you're no bigger than Connor. But if you're a grown person and they got no more sense than that, your problem's not that you don't have enough sense. You're full of pride, buddy. Full of yourself. In this lesson that we're looking at, you know, and it's sort of like we could go to the cooking, but I don't want to make these ladies mad and all that. Because what you cook is larrapin. I caught a few little flack over that word larrapin. You look it up. It's in that dictionary, buddy. You look up the word larrapin, it's in there. And I guarantee you right now, it's an East Texas piney wood word that we grew up here. And that means, buddy, it's delicious, it's indescribable, it's larrapin. Make no mistake about it. In this lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, what about while you turn to 2 Corinthians, do not lose the thought of your text, chapter number 10, in the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter 10. What about in the ministry? You know I've been a place or two. And I was preaching it here, there, and yon across the country every now and again, you know, in another town, another city, sometime another state. But in 2 Corinthians in chapter number 10, you know, the Bible said that you and I better be careful about in ministry that we don't boast against the branches of God. You know, God broke off the Jews, the natural branches, and grafted you and I as a wild olive branch, and he grafted us in. And let me tell you, he said, but you got to be careful. Don't you start boasting against the people of God, against the Jews or the natural branches. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, this Bible said about verse number 16, He said God's done something, and he said to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you and not boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. I've seen people come down the aisle my first night at a place. I've seen the altars fill up. I've seen every now and again somebody got saved. But I dare not go to boast it. All that church had been working and praying for years over them people that came. I had a preacher one time that came by, and he said, I got somebody. He, hang on a minute, preacher. Let me. He said, wait. You wait until I'm there and come down on Sunday morning when I'm there. That way it'll look like he done something. And all that right there. I never did like him much. He's dead now. And I'm sorry he's dead and all this and that. But he was just so full of himself. See? I got to tell you right now, if you want to brag on somebody, you ought to brag on the Lord. That, remember over there in the book of Ephesians chapter number 2 and about verse number 9, he said, whatever salvation is by grace through faith, plus nothing, minus nothing. Let's see here. In the Lord Jesus Christ, not of works, lest any man should boast. God don't want you bragging about what he's done and you taking credit for it. God just doesn't want that. God wants you and I to exalt and magnify and bring glory unto the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's a passage over there in the book of Psalms. It's in chapter number 34, and it's about verse number 2. And as we're talking about this awful subject of pride, I'm telling you right now is that it's only pride that keeps me from telling you how humble I really am. Did you catch that? That's the way we are. Let me say to you, Psalm 34, verse number 2, he said, my soul shall make her boast. Did you notice the feminine terminology, her boast in the Lord? You know, we're going to be the bride of Christ, the church of the living God is. That's where the feminine word in your soul. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. I got to tell you, if you want to brag on somebody, you just brag on the Lord and Savior. This Bible said that you and I better recognize that even things that are small. Remember over in the book of Proverbs in chapter number 27 about verse number 1, when God said, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. In this lesson that we're looking at over there in the book of Isaiah 10, don't turn there. But he talks about the axe. And he talks about the rod. He talks about a saw. And he talks about and says, you know, none of them whatsoever can brag because somebody had to operate them before they could, as an axe, cut down a tree, as a saw lumber, as whatever they were sawing. I want to say to you that if you and I get a hold of the fact and realize to know that he is God, besides him, there is none else. In this Bible lesson that we were looking at here tonight, the Bible in our text over in the book of Proverbs, that Bible said that pride will bring one low. And I got to tell you right now is that if you want to be able to get exalted before the Lord and by the Lord, just turn to him in righteousness. I will say that as we look into it, is that blessed, the Bible said, of the nation whose God is the Lord in the book of Psalm 33 and verse 12. I'm glad to know that it's good to be saved and to know him in the free pardon of sin. And let me tell you, I used to love all that was going on in the country. Now it's such a godless and wicked and queer infested and transgender bunch that's before Jesus comes again, he says, as it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Lot. And buddy, we got the queers in the country that's running rampant worldwide. Make no mistake about that. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, the Bible said that pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. You know what I think's happened? We got to where that we, instead of one nation under God, we're now a nation without God. I love America, buddy. I'm glad to be a part and in the land of the free such as it is. But I got to tell you, God don't love America's sin no more than he does anybody else's. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, you'll find we ought to humble ourselves, the Bible says, in the sight of the Lord. and he'll lift you up over in James in chapter 4 and about verse number 10. Over in the book of Proverbs in chapter 22 and verse number 1, did you know it said that a good name is rather to be had than many riches, than silver and gold. Now I want you to watch this. I know some people tonight that if you give me their name, first thing I think about, their old daddy was a drunk. One of their sons was a dope head. The other one was a child molester. Now I'm going to tell you something. You can ruin your family name. Now if I had the name that some of these have gotten and somebody in their family had ruined that name, you know, when they come here and visit in church, let me say to you that as I look at them and as I talk to them and then I find out who they are, I go to backing up and wanting to holler snake and run backwards. And here's reason being is, listen, if you've been molesting little girls and little boys for all of your life, you're not going to stop that because you change up them here. But if I was in that position, all right, let's just say that. Brother Darrell, say he's preaching. By the way, he's going to Sunday night, Wednesday night. I'll be gone, in case I forgot to tell you, I'm telling you that right now. I hope it's all right, and if it's not all right, I can stay for enough money. Yeah, but I don't want no silver. I got plenty of that junk. I want to say to you that, if you will, that here's what I'd do. Let's just play like, for instance, he was a pastor. And I'd walk up to him and I'd say, I want you to know, here's my name. My name has been ruined by my old daddy or my son, and I want you to know there's not none of that in me. But they don't want to do that. They want to try to sweep that under the family rug. I don't want nobody knowing where I've been, what I've done, so forth and on. You see, that's pride that keeps you from doing that. Now, it doesn't mean you got to get up and confess all of your sins and tell all your faults. And I mean, most of us, we already pretty much know them anyhow. Oh, I'm not going to expose you right here. Hey, some of these folks in here love you so much, if they don't know something against you, they'll make it up. Of course, they're good about humbling themselves in the sight of God. I just said all that to be able to say this. Hey, buddy, God left me while I was unlovable. But there wasn't nothing I could sweep under the rug with him. I had to come out as an empty-handed beggar, lay it all before the throne of grace. I want to tell you, it's good to be saved and to know the Lord, but I'll tell you, there's some people that I would like to help right now tonight that I know that absolutely, while they're hiding sin, the sin of their fathers and forefathers, it makes me a little bit leery. You understand me? I want to say that in this Bible lesson that you're looking at, you'll find out is that a good name's rather to be chosen than silver and gold or riches, so forth and on. Here's what you have to do every now and again. If we'll confess our sins, but that ain't all. You remember what old Job did whenever he got all the news that his family had all been killed? Before then, he had been praying for them, and he'd pray, and he'd confess their sins unless they'd done something they were ignorant of and even unaware of. He'd confess his sin, and he'd confess their sins. See? Now, I don't want you to be, you know, like one of the good brother, and I don't want to ride him too hard on it, but we were riding, going to move somewhere these pews in. Brother Rocky, we were driving. We went over there somewhere and got these pews out of a place. And you talk about a fine man. I'm just telling you right now. He's a fine man. And anyhow, we were on the way back and we throwed a little bit of, one of these candy wrappers, something like that, you know. Trying to keep a good fresh breath in case something happened. My wife, ran into her or something. But anyhow, I throwed that little old bitty piece of paper. It's biodegradable, by the way. And I throwed it out the window. Oh, man, he got on me and scolded me. I said, what in the world's the matter with you? He said, I'll tell you right now. And he called the name of one of his workers, and we'll leave that now. But anyhow, and he said, I said, well, then forgive me, because I don't want to go to hell with that man over one candy wrapper. We bounce them things all the way back. You're enjoying sitting in them. We had to cut them off and fix the place, be able to put them again in the wall like we're doing. That's fruit of our labor. We got back into town there, and of course, you know, he had that seat belt. He didn't have it on. We got unloaded here at the church and went around there and went around the other side and pulled in there, man, because there was a light flashing behind us, and pulled in there at that Exxon station there on the loop there, wherever that is, before you get to stall and drive, wherever that. Anyhow, we pulled in somewhere, and let me tell you, that law buddy came right on in. I thought, I don't wonder what's going on. I ain't speeding. I could see him in the rearview mirror on that truck, and I could also see, Mister, I'm going to try to see if I can slick this seatbelt on over my shoulder. And here he walks up to him. You didn't have your seatbelt on. I don't have it up. Yeah, well, it belongs up there. Well, what me and the law knows, or what me knows and the law don't. That law got back in the car and he went to driving off. Let him off the hook, didn't he? I said, well, I see you won't litter, but you don't mind lying. I wouldn't take for the experience. I've told this many times. And he got to getting under conviction about it. And 2 weeks later, he went up there to the police department and went to confessing that he was a sinner and that he didn't have the seatbelt on and that he'd lie. I said, hold on a minute. Am I hearing this right? Well, I hope you didn't get up there and start confessing my sins too. And you know, that guy couldn't even believe it. He's a big black sergeant, I think. Anyhow, he couldn't believe it. He said, how long ago was this? 2 weeks. Oh, well, you can forget that. You can just go ahead and forget that and get on out of here with that. I got to tell you right now, if I'm ever off with you, I'm pretty much on my best behavior. I don't touch liquor. I don't smoke dope. I don't snort anything. I don't chase women and all that. Your husband is pretty safe with me. But bless God, if you want him to go with me a second time, he better not confess whatever little sins he sees me doing. I want to say in closing that, if you will, the Bible said we ought to confess our sins one to another. This Bible said we ought to confess our sins. And he that said he hath no sins a liar, and truth's not in him. The Bible said that you and I ought to humble ourselves before the Lord, that we might exalt him in due time. 1 Peter chapter number 5, verse number 6. I got to tell you what it is that what God's looking for? God's looking for you and I to bow our head and bow our heart and confess, Lord, I'm but an empty-handed beggar in need of forgiveness and mercy with God. I mean, that's what we need. That's what we need. I mean, if you get to the place to where that you... you know, let pride run away with you. Can I tell you this one last story? It's an old one. You already know it. There was an old man that had been in the military since this is Memorial Weekend. And he's in the military, and buddy, he still had his old suit, and he had his old iron helmet that he would wear, or the helmet that he had. And anyhow, while he was there in his house, he saw a lady driving up. And she got out with her helper. And she went to trying to talk to him and this and that. And she made an appointment. Look, I see you're busy. I'm going to come back another time. And the person that was in the house after he left said, do you know who that is? Those are Jehovah's Witnesses. And they don't believe in the law. They don't believe in the military. They believe you're of the devil. You're kidding me, he said. No, that's who they are. And you've got them coming back to your house again. So as it rocked along there a day or two, it came time for them to show up. He looks out the window down the driveway. We're talking about being sure what you're talking about before you open your mouth. And he saw them. He went in there and he got his old army helmet and he put it on. He put his old army suit on the top. He got the old American flag out. And Buddy went over. He said, come on in here and sit down right there. And don't open your mouth till I'm done. He went to marching up and down and playing old glory, glory, hallelujah, so forth and on. I mean, and then he said, now, what do you think about that? She said, sir, I've been selling Avon for about 25 years now, and I've never seen anything like this in my life. You know, it's just good every now and again to be able to come before the Lord with humility and with thanksgiving. You know, if you'll go to bed talking to the Lord at night, you'll sleep better. If you'll wake up talking to the Lord, me, I get to talk to it three times a night. Sometime I sleep all night. The whole bottom line is morning, noon, and night we ought to think about and praise the blessed name of the Lord. If you don't, pride will swoop in on you. If you'll draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. If you'll draw nigh to God, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. I wonder tonight, do you know him in the free pardon of sin? Then if not, I hope and trust and pray that he's knocking on your heart's door and you do come to know him. While we stand to our feet and our heads are bowed,